Little boy saw a commercial on television for a particular type of detergent soap, and so he was sitting there watching TV, and he got to thinking about his cat. He thought, you know, I ought to go buy some of that soap and give my cat a bath. He went to the grocery store, and he bought some of that detergent soap, and as he was coming through the line, the grocer said to him, "What are you buying that soap for, son?" He said, "I'm going to give my cat a bath." Well, the grocer said, "Son, I'll tell you," he said, "if you do that," he said, "you'll find it's too strong for a cat. In fact, you might kill your cat if you use that soap." Well, the little fella, he had watched the commercial. He knew better than that grocer. And so he went on home and he gave his cat that soap and took care of what he had to do and so forth. But a few days later, he came back to the store and the grocer said, "Son, how's your cat?" And the little boy said, "Well, he died." And the grocer said, "I told you he would." He said, "Oh, mister," he said, "it wasn't the soap that got him. It was the spin cycle that got him." Have you ever had a time in your life where you felt like you were stuck in the spin cycle? Have you ever had days like that, or maybe weeks like that, where it just seemed like you couldn't get off? It was just a time in your life where really it just kept spinning and spinning, and one trial after another problem. Well, this morning we want to learn about God's replenishing grace, how that when we're stuck in that spin cycle, God will give us the grace we need to move on another day. You know, the local church is a place where we get together for fellowship and worship and service, and it's a place where we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's our hope this year, that we might grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul was writing this book to a young man named Timothy. In fact, 2 Timothy is the last book that Paul ever wrote as a letter to the church, and in particular here to young Timothy. And as he writes to this pastor in training, you can sense that the Apostle Paul, whose time was at hand, whose death was drawing near, had a great desire to mentor him and prepare him for what was inevitably going to come in the ministry. What would come in the ministry for Timothy? There would be persecution. There would be trial. There would be disappointment. There would be all kinds of problems and battles that Timothy would face. And so the aged apostle writes to the young recruit, and he says to him in verse number 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And you'll notice by way of introduction, he doesn't say, "Now, Timothy, be all that you can be, boy." He doesn't say, "Timothy, what the mind can conceive, you can achieve." He doesn't say, "Timothy, just do your best." No, no. His best wouldn't be enough. All that he could do wouldn't be enough. He was going to need God's divine anointing, God's strength. And so he says, "Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, sometimes you come to these places in your life where you're just at the end of your rope. You come to the place where you're at the end of your resources and you are out of strength. And it is at that moment when God says, "My grace is sufficient for you." I want you to learn with me this morning how God's grace can supply for your every need. Notice in the first place this morning, His grace replenishes our strength. His grace replenishes our strength. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I believe, first of all, this morning, we need strength for service. If we're going to serve God, then we're going to need God's strength, God's divine enabling. Oftentimes, I've noticed in the Christian life that when Christians get busy with work and overtime and kids' errands and all the things that we have to do, it seems like some of the first things that we cut out of our calendar are those things that really involve serving the Lord. I'm talking about church attendance, teaching a kid's class, going to Bible study, taking an elderly person in the neighborhood something to eat, or being a blessing to someone in a convalescent home, or whatever it is that you would do as unto the Lord. Sometimes we begin to cut those things out of our schedule because we just feel like we're too busy. We're out of strength, we're tired, we deserve a break today. But in the middle of that kind of a life, The Bible says, be strong in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're taking notes this morning, the word strong means this. It means be enabled. Be enabled. God says, my grace will enable you. My grace is an enabling grace. When you don't feel able, God will energize you and God will make you able to do that which involves serving Him. In the context of verse 2, serving Him meant teaching others and sharing the Word of God and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so grace is an all-inclusive word for the power and the inner working and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And God says, if you'll be strong in my grace, you can get it all done. You can do the work that I have called you to do. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, the Bible says, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and fear. God says we need grace to serve Him. We need His strength to endure the hardness and the evils and the trials that will come into our lives. James chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Now I know there's some teaching that goes around in various TV ministries and so forth, and it kind of teaches a type of a gospel that says if you're living for God, then you're going to have health and prosperity and you're never going to have a bad time and just think positive and so forth. But you know, the Bible says that all those that are godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia said recently, a Christian who attempts to live according to the Bible will be deemed as a fool in this society. In other words, if you're going to go to work and live what this Bible says, if you're going to live what this Bible says in your home and in your neighborhood, there will be some people that think you are out of step. There will be some people who may even say things against you or persecute you. And yet God says to you, I have strength for you in those times. I can give you strength. I can give you a grace for serving. Also, He says, I want to give you strength for those times of suffering. I want to give you strength for suffering. Sometimes we need strength just to go another day. Sometimes we need strength because on top of the normal schedule of life, there comes an extraordinary burden that we were not expecting in this life. And when those types of burdens come, sometimes we can draw back and be a little fearful. We can say, what in the world is going on with this sickness that's come into our family? How in the world did we come to a place where our child's in juvenile hall? How did I get to the place where I'm the one that got the pink slip? I don't understand this. And suffering comes into our life. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And yet when that trial first comes, one of the first emotions we feel is fear. One of the first emotions we begin to struggle with is, why did this happen? We begin to fear the circumstance that we are facing. Someone said that worry pulls tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. And when you've got a fear in your heart, it's a cloudy day every day. But you know, I have seen Christians, even here at Lancaster Baptist Church over the years, facing unbelievable circumstances, facing unbelievable news, terrible news. And yet as they face that news, I have seen them have a strength that is only from God. In fact, in this verse we read a moment ago where it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. If you're taking notes, the word there for power is the word dunamis. It is the word from which we derive the English word dynamite. God says, I'm not giving you the spirit of fear. I've given you the spirit of power. I'm going to give you my power, my ability from the inside. I'm going to work into your heart so that you can go forward and do what I have called you to do in living the Christian life. You see, when we are fearful, God says, I want to instill my power in your life. One of our customs as a family during the holidays is to take some time and go, and instead of just thinking, what do we get or how much can we eat, how can we be a blessing to someone else? And sometimes we've gone to the rescue mission and we've sung songs or preached, or sometimes to a hospital or other different types of things. A few years ago on Thanksgiving Day, we went up to Antelope Valley Hospital, and there we visited one of our members who was very sick, Brother Jack Sexton. And we stood there and I read the scriptures and I talked to Brother Jack and we sang some songs. He had some songs that he liked very much and some hymns, and we sang those songs to him. And we were trying to be a blessing to him. And there he was. His body was filled with sickness and problems. And after a little while, he said to me, he said, "Pastor, would you get my Bible off the shelf there?" And I gave him the Bible. And he began to read verses to me that had come to mean much to him. He said, "I want to show you what God taught me from the Bible. I want to show you something that," he said, "you preached a few years ago." He had it underlined. He said, "That's really been a blessing to me in my life." And over the next several minutes, he was sharing with us what God had put in his heart. And I realized that though his body was weak, his faith was dynamite faith. God had put a power within him that was only from the Spirit of God. When we're fearful, God says, "I want to give you power and love and a sound mind." And then when we're weary, God says, "I want to give you strength then too." In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 is a verse that I have often drawn from, and has often been a blessing to me. And it says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish." You ever have a day where you're just completely tuckered out? The body that you live in says, "Hey, bud, pull over. There's a rest stop. We need to spend some time there." Sometimes the outward man perishes. But notice the rest of the verse. It says, "Yet the inward man is renewed day by day." We are replenished daily by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm glad that my life is more than just this body. Now, you'd never know that by the magazines at the checkout stand. All they emphasize is self and physique and the body and the glamour. But you are more than a sack of bones today. You are a living soul that God has created. And God loves you. And He wants to encourage your heart today. And He wants you, when you are weary, to know inwardly that there's a strength that He and He alone can give. I heard of a father and a son who were out at the store shopping, and the dad gave the son one of those little shopping baskets, and they were walking along. And they got some peanut butter and some jelly, and he just kept putting stuff in that basket. After a while, the little fellow's kind of leaning a little bit, and a lady walked by and said, "Son," said, "that's a pretty heavy load for a little guy like you, isn't it?" And he looked up at the lady, had a resolute look in his face. He said, "Oh, don't worry, ma'am. My dad knows how much I can carry. And I'm glad that I have a Father in heaven who knows how much I can carry. And I'm glad that He gives me grace and strength when the load seems a little bit heavy. His grace replenishes our strength." Be strong in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice secondly this morning, His grace replenishes our spirit. His grace replenishes our spirit. Have you ever noticed, even with Christian people, that through the years of trials and overtime and raising families, that sometimes people can have a spirit that once was good, happy, excitable, and now it's just kind of downtrodden and negative, and their spirit is not what it once was. I think the greatest intangible that we need in our homes and in our church is that spirit that is right with God and anticipating God in faith. But sometimes that too can diminish. I remember when we were in high school, we played basketball. The cheerleaders on our side, they did this little cheer. I can still hear it right now, just standing here, Brother Smith. And the cheerleaders would always say, "We've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you?" And they'd say it to the other side. And they had spirit. And they were excited. Well, I want to ask you this morning, how about you? How's your spirit? How's your spirit today towards the things of God, towards the people of God, towards church, towards ministry? How's your spirit? And you see, some Christians feel like they've been burned, and so they exemplify that in their spirit. And some feel like, you know, I've been at this a long time, and they've been let down maybe in some way, and it comes out in their spirit. And I'm going to tell you what, life does that sometimes. Trials come, but God wants to replenish your spirit. He doesn't want you going through life grumpy and with a frown on your face and kicking the dog and the cat. Well, maybe the cat, but neither. He wants you to be nice to everybody, doesn't he? He wants you to have a good attitude, and he wants our spirit to be right. Now, how does he replenish us? Two thoughts here. First, from doubt to faith. God wants to take your life from doubt to faith. Now, I want to tell you a quick story in the Bible, and I'm going to ask you to turn to Philemon. I'm going to show you a man who had a lot of doubt and whose spirit wasn't just right. And I won't go through all the verses in Philemon, but I'll tell you the story briefly. Philemon was a Christian man in the first century who'd been led to Christ by the Apostle Paul. He had a servant named Onesimus. Onesimus had run away from Philemon. Onesimus ran away, and he was a slave in the first century Roman Empire, but he was tired of Philemon, and so he ran away. Well, one day in a prison, he met the Apostle Paul. And there, the Apostle Paul led him to Christ. And so Paul now writes a letter to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. And notice, just by summary, in verse number 18, what Paul says. He says to Philemon, "If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account." By the way, that's what Jesus did with your sin, isn't it? Amen. He says, put that sin on my account. And then he says here, "I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides." He's saying, now Philemon, remember, I'm the one who led you to the Lord. So remember that when you're considering the forgiveness of Onesimus. And then he says in verse 25, notice this. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your," what's the next word say? "Spirit." Amen. He said, "Philemon, I know that Onesimus has hurt you, but I'm praying that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with your spirit. Don't let your spirit reflect that hurt. Don't let your spirit reflect a bitterness towards Onesimus. May the grace of God be with your spirit." And many Christians today, and some will even talk about grace, but their spirit doesn't reflect it. And he says now, "Philemon, I want you to be challenged that God's grace can help your spirit. And it can take you from a place of doubt and questioning to a place of faith. God wants you to be strong in your faith and believe that Onesimus has been a changed man by the gospel of Jesus Christ." Not only does he want us to have a change in the area of faith, but notice secondly, from discouragement to hope. From discouragement to hope. God wants to replenish a discouraged spirit and make us into a hopeful spirit. And he wants us to come to this place of knowing that he is at work on our behalf. Notice, if you would, in your notes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16, what the Bible says. "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through," what's the next word say? "Grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." God says now, he says, "I want you to know that you have hope because of my grace." And he says, "You have comfort and you can do every good work and say every good word." Why? Because of the grace of God. When there is sickness, you can have a good word. When there is a trial in your family, still, you can have a good word and a good work through the grace of God. Nothing humbles me more than to visit someone struggling with cancer and to have them say to me, "I know God's at work in my life. I know God has a reason for this." Nothing exhibits God any more than seeing someone in that valley and seeing their faith strong and hearing them say, "I know that God is with me," and hearing them say, "Pastor, the Lord is my shepherd, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with me, and his rod and his staff, they do comfort me, and he's leading me to the still waters, and he's leading me to the green pastures," and they're saying with their very life that God is replenishing their spirit, and God is giving them a strength that only God can give. His grace will replenish our strength. His grace will replenish our spirit. And notice finally this morning, his grace will replenish our supply. I don't know about you, but at our house with a 21-year-old son and And with a 15, almost 16-year-old son, we go through groceries. I mean, it's like cattle grazing at our house. I mean, the supplies run out fast. They don't just have a glass of milk, they have a half a gallon of milk. And I mean, it just goes fast. And I'll tell you what, we've got to run and resupply all the time. But you know, in your life, sometimes your strength runs out. Sometimes your spirit may diminish. Sometimes there may be other things that you step back and you realize, you know, I've got some great needs in my life. But thank God the Bible says He wants to supply your needs. He wants to supply my needs. I want you to see the greatest need you ever had and how God supplies that need. God supplies forgiveness by His grace. God supplies forgiveness by His grace. God knew your greatest need was not economic. God knew your greatest need was not educational. God knew your greatest need was not entertainment. God said your greatest need is that you might have the forgiveness of sin. And by my grace, I'm going to meet that need. Though it's undeserved, though I don't deserve this forgiveness, yet God provides it. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, we read these words. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And by the way, I don't care how long you've been saved, don't ever get over these verses right here. For by grace are you saved. Here we are reminded we didn't deserve to go to heaven. Why? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. In summary, we were born with a spiritual death sentence upon us. We were born separated from God because of the sin that had come into the human race by Adam's line. And yet God looked at us as a sinful people, and God said, I love them, and I want to exhibit grace towards them by offering forgiveness. And I will pay for their forgiveness by dying on the cross and shedding my blood for their sin. One of my boys asked me when he was younger, said, Dad, what's the crimson flow? What's the crimson flow? He heard a song about the crimson flow. I said, son, the crimson flow is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins. The crimson flow that was shed for our sins. You see, the forgiveness that Christ offers allows God's righteous demand to be met because God's demand for a payment was met at Calvary. That is why Jesus is the only one that can offer forgiveness and how we thank God for it. And we thank Him that His forgiveness is provided freely by grace. You'll notice it says in verse 9, not of works. Now, religion is filled with works, and churches are filled with works for salvation. In other words, if you do this and this and this and this, you'll get saved. And if that's not enough, we'll pray for the repose of your soul to try to make sure that you get up. We have some religions that not only have people working for salvation, but they get others involved in working for their salvation. And it becomes a system of works as opposed to a relationship of grace. And the Bible says we're not saved by doing things. We're saved by believing that what needed to be done was done on the cross of Calvary. And that nothing else must take place except my faith in God's gracious work. There's a cemetery not far from New York City where there is a particular gravestone that has just one word on it. It doesn't have the words of the name of the person. It doesn't have their date of birth, their date of death. It doesn't have any family lineage or eulogy. It literally has one word on it. And the one word on the gravestone is forgiven. Forgiven. By the way, how many of you know that more important than anything that could be said about you is that you are forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ? There was a little boy standing outside of Buckingham Palace. He wanted to go in and see the king. Oh, how he wanted to go and see what it was like in there. He tried a few times to get through, but the guard said, stop, son. And they rebuffed him and put him back. And he was standing there and kind of teary-eyed. And he just wanted to go in. He was just a curious little boy. And as he stood there crying, all of a sudden, a man came by. He said, son, what are you crying for? He said, I want to go see the king. Well, that man put his hand out, and that little boy put his hand in the man's hand. They walked right past the guards. They went right into the throne room of the king. What a wonderful experience that must have been. By the way, That little boy put his hand into the Prince of Wales' hand and walked in to the throne room of the king. I'm thankful that though I was unable to enter into God's presence, and though my sin separated me from God, I'm thankful that God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he extended his hand of grace to me, so that when I trust in Jesus as my Savior, I then can come into the throne room of God, and I can have a relationship with God, not through this church, not through any church, but through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God supplies forgiveness today. That's the greatest need we have. I know you may not convince a junior high boy. He may think it's a Big Mac. Someone else may think it's something else. But the greatest need of our life is forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Notice this. Not only does he supply forgiveness, but God supplies help. God supplies help by his grace. You know, sometimes the Lord calms the storm. And sometimes he lets the storm rage and he calms his child. And God wants you to know today that as a Christian, you say, I've already received his grace for salvation. Then as a Christian, when the storm comes into your life, that he's going to give you the help you need. Now let's turn to Hebrews this morning. And this is one of my favorite portions of scripture. And I told my wife last night, I said, honey, I think I'm preaching to myself tomorrow. I'm not sure, but I'm sharing a lot of my favorite verses tomorrow in the message. And this is one of my favorites. And I hope it's one of yours too. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, notice what the Bible says. Hebrews 4:14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now, folks, with all due respect to the religions of the world, some recently celebrated, may I say to you this morning that the focal point of this church, as the head of this church, is Jesus himself. Amen. He's the head of the church. In fact, he is the high priest of the church. And the Bible says this, that Jesus is our high priest. Verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. And here's what separates him from all other people. And that is that he was without sin. So our high priest was tempted, but he never sinned. He could not sin, for he was God come down in the flesh. Now notice verse 16. Let us therefore, based upon Christ's perfection and his availability as the great high priest, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, and here's the key phrase, and find grace to help in time of need. God says, when you need help, I've got grace to help. I have dunamis power. I have a release of my spirit's strength into your soul, into your spirit. And when you need grace to help you in your time of need, I have that supply for you. Grace is that by which the soul is supported after it has received mercy, and by which it is purified from unrighteousness and upheld in trials and difficulties and enabled to prove faithful unto death. Listen, even in the Bible, a lot of people didn't finish well. If we are going to finish this race well, if we are going to be a church and a people who keep this sweet spirit and who keep the strength that is needed and who finish our course well, it will only be by the grace of God. It will not be because of a wonderful teacher or pastor or church family, though God will use these things. It will be primarily because when you were saved, you were born again by the Holy Spirit, and you allow the Spirit to have freedom, to comfort and strengthen and energize your life. And this is God's plan, to give you grace to help in time of need. I heard the story of a young boy who had in his home a shoebox. And inside the shoebox, he had some grass and twigs. And he had the cocoon of a moth right in the middle, large cocoon. And he was a curious boy, and he couldn't wait till that cocoon would someday open and that moth would come out. Day by day, he watched. And finally, he saw the cocoon had a little opening. He looked inside. He saw some bright orange color. He knew the time was coming. And then he sensed over the next few hours that there was a real struggle going on for that moth to get out of there. So he just reached down and very carefully he widened the opening of the cocoon. And sure enough, the moth came out. But as he watched, the little boy noticed that the moth's wings were real shriveled up. He couldn't really move them very well at all. Something was wrong. And the boy had not realized that the struggle of the moth was necessary in order for the muscle system of the moth to develop, and that in his attempt to relieve the struggle, the boy had crippled the future of the creature. And sometimes we're going through trials and we want to quit church and we want to quit on our family and we just want to pull over and quit on life. And yet the fact of the matter is God has allowed that trial so that we might exercise our faith in Him, so that we might grow in grace, so that we might be more used by Him and for His glory. Oh, that we would recognize the great need of our life is not for God to take every problem out of our life. The great need of our life is to have the power of His Spirit working within our hearts each and every day. God says, be strong in my grace. Paul says, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace will replenish your strength. And God's grace will take a bad spirit and make it better. And God's grace will supply your need for salvation and your need for strength and comfort during the trials. May God help us today to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.